Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Are we ready to praise and worship God this morning? Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? There's plenty of room around the altar. We're going to get right into it this morning. So go ahead and raise your hands. And we're going to pray. Father, I thank you that you have come to give life and life more abundantly. Lord, I thank you that we can trust in your word above all else. Lord, that we don't have to look at our current circumstances. Lord, our current circumstances don't define us, God. Your word does. So, Lord, I pray that as we move in faith today, that chains will break at the name of Jesus, that bondages will be loosened in the name of Jesus, that a fresh spirit of joy would come upon this congregation even right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, what's wrong? Your batteries need to be changed? Okay, you can go do that. We can pray more. Hallelujah. Why don't you go find two people and give them a really big hug and say, I'm so happy you're here. Where's Mindy? Mindy loves it when we do this. Aw, I'm so happy you're here, Brittany. I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy you're here, Isola. I'm so happy you're here. Danny Snowman, I'm so happy you're here. Pastor Obi, I'm so happy you're here. Can you please worship him with me?
Over me. is important. You've heard me preach before on neuroplasticity. Everybody say neuroplasticity. Let me explain what that is for those who don't know. What that means is literally you are recreating your brain constantly. What happens is when you start declaring the goodness of God, they've done studies and they've actually shown that your brain changes, literally physically changes. Now we're talking about depression today, and some of you folks struggle with depression. You need to learn that praise is your greatest weapon. You're making a declaration. I've got the best life now. I was going to sing it, but that ain't happening. I've got the best life now. You need to declare that. You need to speak that. Why? Because when you speak that, literally, your brain is transforming. Having your mind transformed by the renewing of the word. This is not just us singing. It's about us recreating. God is recreating your brain. That's how he created you. So if you want to be free and free indeed, you need to declare the goodness of God in your life. Amen? Amen. How many of you got the best life now? Yeah. Amen. Let's sing it again. Let's recreate.
I've got the best life now. Living the best life now. I've got the best life.
Holy, holy, Let's just lift up our hands to Jesus today. We're so thankful, God. We're so thankful for you. That we have breath in our lungs because of you, God. We are here today to worship you. Thank you, God. No matter what we go through, God, we're going to see the victory through our battles. We will see the victory. If you believe that, give God a shout today. You will get through the victory.
No weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail.
If you believe that, tell him today.
Turn it for good. what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the
die for, so you sacrificed your life,
so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know you thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life.
Come on, sing it right to
you
him.
Thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Sing hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'll give you the glory
to the God who changed my life.
Because I am whole, I will tell everyone I know. One of my favorite things to do in the morning is I just start thanking him. How many of you remember when you weren't born again? You remember what it was like when Jesus washed your sins away? I'm telling you, man, I just sit back. Many times I just walk in my man cave as I'm praying, and I'm just saying, God, I couldn't even have thought of the life that I have that you've given me. I couldn't thank you enough for my family. I can't thank you enough for the covenant. I can't thank you enough for being called a son of God. I can't thank you enough that I know if I die today, I know where I'm going to be. And I can't thank you enough for the peace that passes all understanding. I can't thank you enough for the joy of the Lord that is my strength. I can't thank you enough that I can literally stand here in the presence of God and talk to you. Just literally talk to the creator of the universe. What an amazing privilege we have. And sometimes we forget how blessed we are. We really do. How many of you have a pillow? You're blessed. Amen. How many of you went to the bathroom this morning? Amen. You were able to flush this morning. You're blessed. There are a lot of places you can't even do that. It's amazing when we realize all that we have, yet we praise less than we've ever praised. And if you want a breakthrough in your life, the key is praise. The key is praise. The more you praise, the more your eyes look up. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The more you keep looking at your problems, the more you're going to be struggling with depression. But when God's on your side and your eyes are fixed on him and you start to praise, not only neuroplasticity happens, not only do you recreate and you create what those thought trees that are alive and powerful, God literally restructures your brain and brings you to be a person of joy unspeakable and full of glory. But also what you're doing is you're giving him the glory that's due his name. How many of you know whether you like it or not, he still deserves the glory? No matter what your trouble is, God is still God. On the way to church this morning, I was thinking, you know, because it's been a trying year for me. And I just was praying, and he said, you know, I just want you to know I got everything. You can just relax. And, you know, you think about that. That doesn't even make sense. You got trouble in your life. You got problems in your life. You got things going on in your life. And God says, just relax. I got this thing. Man, when you know how big your God is, I was talking to him. I said, God, you are gargantuous. That's bigger than big, isn't it? We see God is so pequito, so tiny. We see God is such a small entity, but when you really see how big he is, if I could balance. You can just kick back and relax because you know your Father in heaven, He's got you. Your Father has got you. You're going to be all right. Can you turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right? Come on, tell somebody else, you're going to be all right. Can you do me a favor on friend? Can you smile at the person next to you? Come on, give him a smile. I didn't say you had to breathe on him. I said, give him a smile. Do you realize how rare it is to give somebody a smile these days? Everybody walks with a sour puss on their face. But man, there's nothing better than just seeing that the joy of God is your strength. Well, Pastor, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't feel joy. Well, the Bible says, call those things which are not as though they already are. That's right. Come on now. You can shift and change your scenario by calling into existence. That's right. That means prophesy by smiling. Glory to God. Prophesy by raising your hands. Glory to God. Prophesy to your situation. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. He's not a weak God. He is the supernatural King of Kings. Amen. So I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. He's got this thing. You're going to be all right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Watch this now. Yea, though I walk through. Some of you got gone camping. Come on, fold up that tent. Get walking. Amen. You got to walk through. Stop staying in. You're going to be all right. Sometimes it gets really dark, but I want you to realize that the light is dwelling inside of you. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light. And I want you to realize that you are going to be all right. Can you do me a favor? Can you go find five people you don't know and say, hey, listen, now you are going to be all right. Now, I know what you do. You go sit down. Don't sit down.
What if you don't
sit down. Go find five people you don't know and say, you're going to be all right. Come on now, five people. Five, five, five.
everybody, grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss.
I'm Pastor Aaron. Every year on October 31st, our children go out into unsafe neighborhoods searching for candy, only to get about 14 pieces and an old rotten apple. We here at His Kids want to put a stop to that. With your donation of 1 to 12 bags of candy, you can make a difference in the life of a local child. Bring in your candy to the His Kids desk so we can ensure that these children have enough candy to last them until Easter. Thank you.
Hey, church family, I want to ask you this. Are you new to His Tabernacle? Perhaps you may not truly understand the full vision of the house. Maybe you've been attending for some time and you're not sure what you're called to do here. I want to give you the opportunity and the invitation to attend Growth Track. Yes, this is the opportunity for you for 4 weeks for you to come out and understand who we are, what we are, and why you are called here. We want you to be able to grow through Growth Track. So visit us on the website or check us out at the information booth for more info.
At His Tabernacle, we want you to grow. And we believe that teaching is a huge priority in every single believer's life. And so we provide classes called Next Steps. It ranges from step one all the way to step three. And we will meet you wherever you're at in your Christian walk. So if you'd like to find out more information about what your next step is, you can go out to the Info Center and get that, or go right online to histabernacle.com.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Isn't it awesome to be in the house of God this morning? It is such a gift for us to join together in fellowship and communion as we celebrate our King, all the things that He's done in our life, both past, present, what we know He's faithful to do in the future. Can I hear an amen? Because our God goes before us and He makes a way. He walks with us as we go and He guards our backs so we can have that full assurance. We'd like to welcome you. Welcome, live stream family. We love you. Thank you for joining us today. If you are guests in the house this morning, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We have a gift for you. We'd love to give you some information, so just lift your hand and keep it high. And directly after service, while the guest hosts are coming around and giving you your gift, directly after service, we would love to invite you over to this side of the building. There is a guest reception. We have refreshments and beverages. We really would love an opportunity to get to know you. One of the things that we do really well here at His Tabernacle Family Church is we build relationships. We're a large church, but it feels like a small family. Can I hear an amen? That's a gift. That's something that we get to enjoy here. And so we want to invite you to come right over to the guest reception directly after service. We'd love to have an opportunity to meet you. As usual, we have many things going on in the house of God. Aren't you glad that we serve a living God and we participate with a living church? I love that we're always out in the community doing whatever we can to spread the news of Jesus Christ. We have a new class that is available called Celebrate Recovery. It's going to be offered on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. If you would like to participate with that, it gives us an opportunity to overcome addictions according to the Word of God. We know that it's the Word that breaks bondages of the enemy. It's the Word that gives us freedom through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you want to participate with that group Tuesday night, 7 p.m., please see Pastor Kevin Jackson or Carolyn Jackson. They would love to give you more information. Also, October 4th and 5th, anyone that is new or feels like they're stuck or they need a breakthrough, there are 35 spots available for Encounter Weekend. You just want to go to histabernacle.com or to the info center to get more information. If you need that, there should be a sense of urgency in your spirit. You do not want to wait to make sure that you sign up for that. We put off our breakthroughs, sometimes we miss it. So you want to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives to you. Also, Pastor Appreciation Banquet is happening October 19th at 6 p.m. This is a game show red carpet theme. It's going to be so much fun, and I'm sure that there will be maybe some roasting going on. 21 years. I have 21 years here. That's a whole lot of roasting. I have lots of stories. Just ask me. I'll tell you. So that is to honor our senior pastors for all that they've done for the kingdom. It is $10 per person, and you can sign up at histabernacle.com. You do not want to miss it. It is going to be an amazing time, and we have the best senior pastors in the whole wide world. 21 years. I've seen their steadfastness of heart. They're never changing according to the Word of God. Truly, I've been behind the scenes that whole time. They're awesome pastors. When you see them and when you don't, they're awesome. I would like to invite Pastor Cody. I have stories about him too, because I was his youth pastor for a really long time.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. Isaac, come here real quick. Come on, fast, quick, come here. Hurry up. All these people are waiting for you. Come on. I need you to see why I was distracted a little bit. Isaac just said, do you like my goatee? How long has this been growing? How long has this been growing?
Solid 4 days.
My God, help him. Help him, Jesus. I was taken aback by his beautiful facial hair growth. I apologize. Hey, if you have your Bible with you, can you open up real quick to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24? And I want to read this, and man, I love the time of tithe and offering, and for me, I don't think money's an awkward topic. I think it's something we should talk about because it's on people's mind a lot. Jesus talked about it a lot. It's what most people's overall goal is to have a better financial life so they can support themselves and their family. And Jesus taught things about money. And he taught us about salvation. We follow his plan for salvation. He taught us about healing. We follow his plan for healing. He taught us a plan about joy, and we can follow that plan for joy. And he's also done it with money. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says this. It says, how could you worship two gods at one time? You will have to hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't worship the true God while enslaved to the god of money. See, money is really a horrible god. Money's one of the worst gods you can have. Like, let's be real about it. Most of the time, we get our check and it's gone quicker than it came. Spent 40 hours at work and it's gone faster than those 40 hours ever felt like they were there. Money goes quick. You can spend a lot of time, but it's not a god that will stick with you. The value of money is always changing. See, money is a very poor god to serve. Because it's a god that you'd always have to chase. But on the flip side, the God that we serve, man, he's the owner of the whole earth. He's the creator of the whole earth. Everything is to him and for him and by him. And when we can serve that God, we don't have to serve a god that's flighty and we have to chase all the time. See, 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10, a lot of people misquote this, and I see it on social media all the time. They say, if money is evil, then why do people want it? Or if money is evil, then why does church want it? See, it's, money itself is not evil. The Bible actually says the love of money is the root of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So I'm going to challenge you and encourage you this morning that money's not a bad thing. Money's only a tool. And money, when it's a tool in our life, it advances us forward in the things that we want, we desire, and we use it to advance the kingdom of heaven forward. But when money's our love, when money takes root inside of our heart, then we have to figure out what God we're serving. See, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is not, it's our attitude and how we see this. See, some people, when we talk about, when money is brought up, it's an evil thing that they don't want to discuss. Sometimes when money's brought up, it's something that's taboo. But I want to encourage you, money is not a taboo thing. It's not an evil thing. Our attitude determines what money is in our life. And as a house and as a body, I want to encourage you, money is a tool to advance ourselves and to advance the kingdom of heaven forward. See, money's not the issue. Our attitude is. And I want to encourage you to take up an attitude of Christ towards money. And stand in the position of God. If everything in this earth is yours, then every dollar I made is yours. Especially the 10%, the measly 10% that you ask back. To show that my attitude is not a love for money, but it's still a love for you. See, on your seats, we have envelopes. Also, we have an availability to text, to give. And what we practice here, what we teach here, is tithes and offerings. And what is tithes? A tithe simply means a tenth, a 10% of what we've made. And we find this all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The tithing is something we do as believers to keep our attitude in check and to remain in obedience to Christ. It's simple, it's easy, it's not crazy hard. The math is very simple as well. But it's funny. I'll throw Mindy under the bus. We'll be at a store like 30% off. I don't even know how much that is. I don't understand. Well, 10 times 3 would be 30. But simple 10%. We have envelopes on your chair. I don't know, it's just a rabbit trail. I don't know. But there's an envelope on your chair, and I want to challenge you, encourage you to go ahead and grab that envelope because we're about to give our tithes and our offerings. What we do here is we bring them to the front as a gift to God, as an offering to God. We don't want to shake you down in your seats. We want to give you the ability to bring it to God as a gift. So this morning, if you have your envelope, maybe you give, go ahead and grab your phone, but we're going to give our offering this morning. You guys can go ahead and stand to your feet. And Isaac is going to give our supernatural blessing this morning. Come on, Isaac, with all of his facial hair.
All right, repeat after me. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings of God will chase me down. They'll trim me up. Because I'm blessed. Say it again. Blessed. All right, you can bring your tithes and offerings to the front now.
The best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive.
Planned for last week, but we want to remind you that we're receiving an offering today for the Bahamas. Just wanted to show you real quickly what we're dealing with in the Bahamas. Do we have that video? There we go. Not all the Bahamas. Many people don't realize there are 700 islands with the Bahamas. Nassau did not get touched, but this is where LaRue Colmer's family, their church down in Nassau, has a campus on this island. And it was pretty much decimated. So what we're doing is we're receiving an offering. Already $1,500 has come in. And we're just going to receive the offering today. And then we're going to send cash down. I talked with the pastor, and a lot of the people are not getting the food and things that are being sent down there. And so we're going to send it directly to the pastor and to the church itself in the Bahamas. And that way, we know they'll be able to buy the food, buy the clothes, get them lodging. Anybody who was on those islands no longer has a place to live. And that's an issue. So what we're doing is the pastor is going to be able to find places for them to live, pay their first a few months' worth of rent, buy them clothes. Many of them, he said, escape literally the clothes on their back, nothing else. And so we're going to bless them. Now, what you have in your seats is the green envelopes. They're called seed envelopes. And whatever God has laid on your heart, we just ask that you'll give. We're going to have the offering plates in the back. And so when you're leaving today, we're not going to have you come up again. But while you're leaving today, if you want to sow into the people of the Bahamas, they're your brothers and sisters. Amen. They're our family. The kingdom of God is bigger than the cornfield. Amen. That's right. It's all over the planet. So if you feel led of God to give to them, we're just going to send them this week. We're going to send them money. And this way the apostle down there will be able to do what he needs to do to be a blessing to the community. It was pretty interesting to where literally it's so hard to fathom when something is there and then a storm comes through and now is literally gone. But that is what's happened there in the Agabus Island, I believe they call it. And there is nothing left. The campus is gone. And he hasn't shared with me if any of the people passed, but from the church itself. But I know there are many people passed during that storm. So we just want to be a blessing. If you feel led of God, awesome. If you don't, that's between you and Jesus, not us. And we just want to say thank you very much for your giving spirit. Amen. Just want to give you a testimony at our campus up in Canada. Many of you don't know, but we have a campus, histabernacle.ca. If you ever want to get on there, check it out. Pastor Hutchings. They actually had an outreach on Saturday evening. 250 people came out to the outreach. There were literally people on crack that were there. Thank God he has police that work with him. And many people, I think 12 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ on Saturday night right there on the streets up in Canada. Amen. It's so exciting to be part of something much larger than the cornfield. Amen. I love that we are actually able to reach our entire hemisphere. We are literally, God is using us from Canada all the way down to Mexico to help people to grow God's kingdom and to bring change in life. I had a testimony, I think I shared a little bit last week, but just want to share it quickly, that in Cancun, our church in Cancun is growing exponentially. And the pastor from Campeche, Pastor Patricio, our pastor over the churches in Mexico and Puerto Rico, he said, "Pastor, it's so exciting." He said, "They want you to come." So I believe probably in January, my wife and I are going to go down to Cancun. And a lot of you are saying, "Wow, you're going on vacation." It just shows that you don't understand. Cancun is extremely dangerous right now, especially for Caucasians. It is an extremely dangerous community. Actually, what they're doing, and they don't tell you this, but if you are, don't send any of your children down there on spring break. It is overwhelmingly dangerous. A lot of girls are disappearing and being sold into sex slavery during that period of time. But what they're actually doing now is going on the resorts and actually snatching people off and holding you for ransom and then decapitating you and putting your heads back on the stairs. But they don't talk about that because it really brings a decline to the tourism. But truthfully, it's a very dangerous. But what's happening, God is moving right now in that city called Cancun. And people are getting saved. And I'm excited to be able to go and share the gospel down there and see God bring more salvation. And I believe that God, and what we've been praying for, is that many of those that are propelling the sin will get saved. Amen. I really am believing God that we're going to be able to see some major families down there get born again. This morning, I want to welcome you all to Friend Day. It's an awesome day to be in the house of God. We want you to know that Jesus was a friend of sinners. Well, what do you mean, I'm a sinner? Well, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but, everybody shout, but, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's exciting to recognize is that Jesus wants to have you in his family. And today we're ministering on a topic that is a little challenging for people, but what I have found is that it is literally saturating not only the body of Christ, but we know it's saturating our community. And that is the topic of depression. We've been talking about how depression has overwhelmed so many individuals, and yet God set us free from depression. I want you all to say this out loud with me. Depression is never God's will. Come on, shout it out loud. Depression is never God's will. Tell somebody next to you, depression is never God's will. It's important that you hear that because a lot of people say that anything that happens in their life is from God, and that's not true. A lot of people have said, well, you know, God's in control of everything. That's not true either. The fact is that man has free will. But the thing that is true is that God is on your side. And if you're his child, God can take something that's bad and turn it to good. Can I hear an amen? But what's happened in the body of Christ is we've started to lose hope. But I want you to hear what the Word of God has to say about depression. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, shout power, shout love, and shout sound mind. That's right. God has given you a sound mind. Depression is not from God. I'll prove it to you again. Was there depression in the Garden of Eden? Was there depression in Jesus Christ's life? No. Is there depression in heaven? Then if you don't believe there was depression in those three areas, then you have got to stop praying. If you believe in depression in your life, you've got to stop praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, thy will be on as it is in. So if there's no depression in heaven, you know it's never God's will for depression to be in your life. Why? As your will in heaven brought to earth. So what you and I are as sons and daughters, yes, we are participatory in this world, but this is not our home. Say amen or oh my. We are not governed by the rules of this world. We're governed by the Word of God. What's happened is that we've become so unified with the world that we adapt the world system and we accept whatever comes as what it is. But I'm here to tell you as a child of God, from the Word of God, that you and I have the Word to stand on. And if it's not God's will, do not accept it. Let me say it again. And if it's not God's will, do not accept it in your life. It is never God's will for you to be sick. Don't accept sickness in your life. It is never God's will for you to be depressed. Never accept depression in your life. It is never God's will for you to live in anxiety and panic attacks. Don't accept it in your life. We have got to start hating some things. We are so loving everything. Well, you know, I want to be accepting of everything. I'm not accepting of everything. and neither is God. There's only one name under heaven while you shall be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There aren't many ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. Well, that was exciting. I said, there are not many ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. You see, God does not accept all these other gods. He does not say, okay, well, I guess you can take a different trail and we all meet up in the same location. Not true. And it's the same way. We've got to make a determination in our spirit. God's word is truth or it's a lie. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if the truth will make you free, that's what Jesus said, know the truth and the truth shall make you free. When you know the truth, you can stand on it and declare that, yes, that is in this world. Yes, that might even try to get in my life. But I refuse to accept anything that's not the will of God in my life. God has given you a sound mind, and depression takes away soundness. What is depression? It is a mental state characterized by a pessimistic sense of inadequacy or a despondent lack of activity. Sad feelings of gloom and inadequacy. There are some symptoms. Social withdrawal is common, aloneness, emotional sadness, frequent crying spells are common. Self-esteem and self-confidence are low. Loss of personality, a sense that our sense of humor has left. Oversensitivity emotionally. Desire to give up. A sense that nothing is worth it. No hope. I want you to realize that if those symptoms are in your life, you cannot accept them in your life. You cannot just say, well, I guess that's just what I'm feeling. I want to remind you that your feelings do not control you. The Holy Spirit controls you. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What happens is when we give attention to our emotions and allow them to dictate to us. But I walk by faith and not by sight. Faith in what? Not faith in a situation, because situations change consistently. But I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my faith in the Word of God, which not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to completion. That God's Word, He cannot lie. And if God said it, it is yea and amen. Come on now, let me hear an amen out of you. There's a time for you and I to get stubborn. Heard people say, well, you know, stubbornness is not a good thing. Yes, it is. Stubbornness aimed in the correct direction will always keep you from accepting stupidity. Say amen or am I? Brother Ted told me one day, he said, you know, there's going to come a time when you get older when there are things you used to accept when you were in your 20s and 30s that you're just not going to put up with in your 40s and 50s. How many of you know he was talking the right thing? They're just things you just can't tolerate anymore. I'm sorry. No. I do not do good with disrespect. Disrespect and dishonor is the one thing that turns my hair white, red, and pink all at the same time. I get so mad, I just look at him and I do the head twist. Ready? Watch this. When my staff sees this happen, they're fired. Because I just won't ever tolerate disrespect. Why is that? Because if you can't respect the person that you can see, you'll never respect the person you cannot. Amen? So depression, we talked about it. It is never God's will. You cannot accept it. You cannot allow it in your life. And I want you to know that I don't care who you are. At some point, depression has come knocking on your door. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter the neighborhood you live in or don't live in. It doesn't matter whether you came from an affluent family or a family from across the tracks. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter. Depression knocks on every single person's door. The difference is whether you're going to let it in, sit down and have some tea, or you're going to shut the door and lock the devil. Can I hear an amen? You come on. Oh, I just feel it. Yes, we got to sing that song this morning. Ready? Sing it with me. The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd stuff him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key for all those things he's done to me. I want you to realize he is a sly old fox. He's going to try to get in your life and stir discouragement, stir depression, to where now your eyes are off of Jesus, and now your eyes are on your circumstances, and now that you are going to be in that spiral, many have gone to the bottom of the barrel, some have made it out, but many have not. We are right now is in our society running towards the medication quicker than we're running towards God. Now, we talked about the three, we're going to talk about the three. I only got past one last time. That was one reason for depression is called medical. And there are people who have brain chemical imbalances. There are people that are not taking the right, come on now, vitamins. You're not bringing nutrients to your body. Maybe your thyroid is off. And we went through different reasons. And if you missed that, you can go to histabernacle.com. Go to watch. Go to archives and watch that message. You need to. I don't have time to preach it over again. There are medical reasons why depression knocks on your door. But the one thing you can know for sure, that God heals the body. It doesn't matter whether it's a chemical imbalance. It doesn't matter whether you're a vitamin balance. It doesn't matter what the issue is. God has the answer, so you do not have to live in depression. Amen. That's one reason. The second reason where we're picking up today, are you ready? Is the number one reason I believe, and as I've been in ministry over 32 years, the number one reason for depression in most people's lives is what we call stinking thinking. You'd be blown away how many people think horrible. In fact, human nature, by nature, when somebody says something that's not positive, your mind goes to the nth degree, the opposite direction, thinking how bad it's going to be. It's time for you and I to realize that our minds are the enemy of God. Oh, I'm sure. You're not sure about that. Romans chapter 8. If you've not read Romans chapter 8 in a long time, go back and read it. Your mind is the enemy of God. Why? Because your mind is your soul. Your soul is against the things of God. Remember, you're a trichotomous being. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Your physical body is nothing more than the manifestation of the one that you're yielding to inside. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, that means the Spirit of God, if you're born again, the moment you got saved, the Spirit of God came and dwelled within your spirit man. You became the temple of the Holy Ghost. In fact, if you're born again, shout, I'm possessed. I'm possessed. And that is true. Literally, God dwells inside of you. And by that, now it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives through me. We now have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the personality of God dwelling in us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is who you are. I don't know who other people have said you are, but I'm going to tell you who you are. You're a child of the Most High King. You're a son and daughter of the one who said, let there be and there was. You are not just making it by. You are one that is more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that you cannot accomplish. You are the one that God has placed here as a representation of heaven itself so that people can see heaven on earth. That's who you are. The problem is we buy what the world says we are and we allow our minds to run rampant. I've said this earlier and I said this concerning medical science and the Word of God are not in a collision course. But when you put more faith in the medical world than you do in the great physician and his word, then your faith is in the wrong place. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus and get back to the Word of God. Call those things which are not as though they already are. I believe in doctors. We have doctors that come to this house. But when I go to the doctor, one of the main reasons is let's find out what's wrong so now I can take authority and bind that thing so that I don't have to have it the rest of my life. Amen. There are many people that think just horrible. The fact is that the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks, so he is. So your thought life is everything when it comes to living a life of depression. You'll find that people that are depressed, the very first thing they think of is how bad it is. They think of the worst, not half full, they think half empty. Now listen, I'm not talking about being concerned. There are times to be concerned in life. But when you allow concern to grow up, it takes on the form of worry. And we're going to cover next week anxiety and anxiety panic attacks and how to bind those up and get those out of your life. But this morning, depression is the entry level to where you and I are going to allow the enemy to work in our lives to destroy the very plan of God for your life. You see, that's one thing that you've got to know is how you think is who you actually are. How you think is exactly who you are. You and I have the right, well, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, just the way I am. That's a lie from hell. The last I knew, I have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't tell me that I have to think the way the world system does. Don't tell me I have to think the way the circumstances demands. I am called to live according to the word of God. And I want you to realize it's not easy starting off. That transformation, have your mind transformed by the renewing of the word. Will you start to allow God's word to have a greater impact than your circumstances and your situations? When you allow God's word to be stronger than your feelings. Feelings. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Feelings. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Feelings. Be blown away how many people are governed by their emotions. Listen, and I'm not talking girls. I'm talking big, burly men. I've watched men in this church, man. I look at them and they could crush me with their hand. But they're so emotionally unstable. And they're emotionally unstable because they put more passion into their emotion than they do in the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing. Everybody shout dividing. Of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, which is the trichotomy of man. You see, when you and I are not in the Word of God, then you cannot discern what is emotion and what is God. So therefore, if you can't discern what is God and what is emotion, now your mind starts to think. Now let's be honest how it works. All of a sudden, a circumstance happens in your life. It's real. It's valid. You get a bad doctor's report. Somebody says something to you about your marriage. Your children are having problems. You just got fired at work. You're having this scenario, that scenario. They're real. But all of a sudden, your mind starts to race about how horrible it is, how bad it is. You look at it as bad rather than an opportunity for the supernatural to manifest in your life. And now you start speaking it. For as a man thinks, so he is. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible says your tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. The Bible says life and death are in the power of your tongue. And all of a sudden you're speaking death and you can't understand. Listen, your words are seed and you will eat the fruit thereof. So depression is so powerful because we allow it to enter our lives by the way we think and the way we speak. And man, I want you to know as a believer that God has set in his word. Listen, he's got chapters upon chapters about how to think. Philippians chapter 4, how to think. Listen, James chapter 3, how to talk. The word even have full chapters on how to think and how to talk. Why? Because as you think, so you are. And when a problem comes in your life and you allow it to start owning you, come on now. Listen, it's one thing about a problem hitting your life. It's another thing about it, you allowing it to rest in your soul. The moment you allow your circumstance to rest in your soul, it starts stealing from your spirit. How do I know that? You've lost sleep. How do I know that? Your mind keeps racing all day long, thinking about the same exact situation. I want you to realize what that is. That is not the Spirit of God. I want you to realize that that is not the Word of God. that is at that very moment. Your soulish man trying to bring you into a captivity. Why is your soulish man bringing you into captivity? Because he hates the Spirit of God. The spirit and the soul are the enemy of God. The soul is the enemy because it wants to rise up and take authority in your life. You've got to make a determination. In my spirit, God's word is above everything that happens on my planet that I dwell inside. Your problem arises, and all of a sudden your mind starts to run, starts to race. It grabs a hold of that worst scenario, and then you start feeling discouraged. Well, you know, I guess it just, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. No, you know what to think. The problem is you allow your thinking to be anything. See, this is the shift. What I have found about most people when it comes to living a life of depression because of their stinking thinking is they've made poor choices in life. No, the poor choices aren't making bad decisions in the process of creating your scenario. The poor choices is, now what are you going to do? Well, I don't know about you, but I know what Paul said. I forget those things which are behind, and I press on. I press on. I press on. Come on now. I've got to press on because I can't live in dead time. I've got to live in living time. I can't change what I did there, but I can change where I am here. I choose to live the life of more than a conqueror than being one that is conquered. That is the shift in the believer's life. This is the shift, because when problems start to come, and let's just start talking about it, as you start thinking and depression starts to come on now in your body, and now your mind is starting to get raveled up, starting to get grabbed a hold of, then you go into what we call a deep discouragement or long-term discouragement. After long-term discouragement, you start losing hope. You know that's true because now you have a hard time getting out of bed. Now, I'm not talking because you're lazy. That's a whole other topic. We'll preach that sermon some other day. But you're so discouraged, man. You don't even find a reason to get out of bed. Listen now. I want you to see this. The devil has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can kill your hope, you'll never activate or need faith. For faith, come on now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. You've got to have hope to activate faith. So when discouragement overwhelms you and now you start going into the depths in that spiral, what happens is you start losing hope. When you start losing hope, you no longer need God or look to God. See how evil this is? If the devil can get you to that place and that platform where you're discouraged, you no longer look to God. You now can only see the problem that is staring you in the face. But I want you to realize that your Father in heaven is larger than any problem that you have in your life. God can take whatever the devil has brought, whatever life has brought to your table, God can turn it for good. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. These are not statements. These are truths, but that cannot happen if you don't have faith. And if you've gone into a depression and you start spiraling deeper, you will now lose hope, which is the stimuli to your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So now you have no faith. You're having trouble pleasing God. Now you have problems getting out of bed. You keep saying this, I've got no reason to live. I've got no purpose to be here. And that's what the devil is after. You were not born 1,000 years ago. You weren't even born 100 years ago. Some of you are close. You were born, and the Bible says that God fearfully and wonderfully made you. God said that you were not an accident before you were formed in your mother's womb. I knew you. You are not an accident, which means this. You are on this planet for a purpose. Turn to someone and say, I'm here for a reason. Tell somebody else, I've got a destiny. If the devil can bring you by your thinking into a place of losing your destiny, then what impact will you make? What the enemy is so wise in his deduction is this. He doesn't want to kill you as much as he desires to disembody you from your goal, from your purpose in life. And the way to do that is to bring you into a depression where you will no longer have hope. You no longer have reason for living. You no longer have direction. There is nobody deader on this planet than somebody without vision. There is nobody more lost than somebody that doesn't have direction. And I'm not talking from here to Walmart. I'm talking somebody who's lost purpose for their life. Well, I've got no reason to live. The devil is striving to bring you to a place where you no longer see your purpose on the planet. And that's what the problems start to do. And that's why people, the greatest way people get depressed is they're stinking thinking. All of a sudden, the problem comes, and it's real. And then they start meditating on it. They start looking at it. And now they start allowing their life to be motivated by it. Now it starts owning them. Listen, when it gets inside, it starts taking up ownership in your life. And now you're making decisions according to the emotions that you're feeling in every turn in your life. Some of you have walked away from your marriages. Some of you have walked away from your jobs. Some of you have walked away from your children. Some of you have walked away from God. Why? Because you lost hope, and the devil is striving to get your hope. He wants to destroy your faith, because if you lose faith in God, you have nothing. So how you think is pinnacle on your success of being on the planet and doing God's will. This is why the enemy works so desperately. This is why the churches that are not talking about this, I believe, are causing their own issues. This is why that if we don't address it, the enemy is going to play in the camp, and we've got to look at this thing, and we've got to see this thing for what it is. If you have a medical issue, God can heal you. And until you get that healing, make sure you get your help. Can I hear an amen? But if it's not medical, most likely you're dealing with something called stinking thinking. How do you think when trouble hits your doorstep? What's the very first thought that comes across you? What's the very first feeling that absorbs you? That right there, and I don't care who you are, I don't care how big your smile is, because a lot of people hide what they're actually believing. That's true. A lot of people are depressed are the ones walking around with a smile on their face. But if it's not medical, then it's usually stinking thinking. I'm just going to say it. You do not have the right to think any way you want once you've got born again. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. You do not have the right to think any way you want. Thanks, Ed. He's the only one that said amen. You do not have the right to think any way you want once you become born again. This is one of those stubborn moments. You do not have the right to think any way you want the moment you became born again. Amen. You do not have the right to think any way you want the moment you became born again. Amen. Those who need to say amen are not saying it yet. When you get born again, you do not any longer have the right to think any way you want. This is mind control. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what Jesus was after. He was after the way you think, because he knows that that is the greatest detriment in your life. That's why he wrote a whole chapter in Philippians chapter 4. Think on these things. That's why he told us what to speak, what not to speak. That's why he told us, watch out who you hang with. Bad company corrupts good morals. You know, you're around those people. Sky is blue, but there's a cloud somewhere. I know it. You know those people. Why do you hang around with them? Well, they've been my friend for 50 years. Well, maybe you need to break off the friendship. Boy, you know, that's just not even nice to say. Well, it's my mother! We call it boxing time. Plan when you're going to arrive and make an appointment before you get there what time you're leaving. It's called boxing time. You got to spend time with your mama. But you don't got to live with your mama. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You got to be careful who you're around. Listen, you're at work and someone's just vomiting on you all day long. I've got this story. I've just got to tell it and I've got to hustle. Can you guys put the clock back up one more time? I'm on a clock. When I was a kid, I had a cousin. She's still alive. She watches. Actually, she's probably watching this morning. Her name is Denise. And we had a missionary come in from Africa. And back in those days, they had slideshows. And they would bring their spears, and they would bring, you know, he was from Africa, he'd bring his the shields. And it was really cool because you could see, you know, where they came from and some of the things that they had. It was really, really neat as a kid. And so this missionary is sitting in the pew. I don't know, do you guys remember this or not? Sitting in the pew, I remember because I was sitting behind her. And I was sitting in the pew, and the missionary was sitting in front of Denise. And all of a sudden, it's dark out. And he's click, click, click. She puked all over the missionary's back. I don't know. All I know is I'm one of those reflex pukers. Anybody else a reflex puker? Jesus, help us all. Clean the rug. I would not let anybody come up, I mean, in my face and go, hi, I'm going to vomit on you. How many of you would? Then why do you do it with people? Why do you allow them to vomit their negativity towards you? Why do you allow them to speak death to your life? Why do you allow them to speak what is against the word of God? Listen, you and I have a regulator. The regulator is the word of God. We don't have the right to think outside of the word of God. Can I hear an amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, bringing every thought and imagination into the captivity, shout captivity, to the obedience of Christ. Your thoughts don't have a right to do whatever they want. Well, you know, life is hard. Shut up. You're breathing, aren't you? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, you don't know the life I've lived. You don't know the life somebody else has lived, and they're still praising. It's not about your life that you're living. It's about the life you're calling into existence. Some of you are living hell, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you planted seeds for that harvest for years. You've got to start replanting. Curse that crop, replant. Curse that crop, replant. Replant seeds that are going to bring forth the harvest that you want in your life. If you want joy, then I'd plant seeds of joy. That means I'm getting around people that are going to laugh and have fun and have the joy of the Lord. Listen, if you want peace, don't be around somebody who always loves. Come on now, you know those people. If there isn't a problem, they create one. Amen. Once a person starts that digression, let me tell you what happens. Once they start getting owned, or the depression is no longer just attempting to control their life, but they've surrendered to the level of depression, then I want you to know what ends up happening, which is the third level of depression, and that is called demonic depression. Some of you don't believe in demons. I would love to send you to a third world country for just one day. When they manifest at you, there's one type of music I just can't listen to. And no disrespect, because I have people that I love play this music. It's, what's it called? Screamo. I can't do it. Let me give you an example of screamo. I I got to stop that. I felt my jowls move. You know what I mean? I can't do that kind of music because the very first time a demon manifested out of a human, that was the tone they gave me. It just equates too much to me. But demons are real. We know their job. They all have a job. They all have the same job, but they have different talents within their job. John 10:10, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He wants to destroy your hope. He wants to destroy your purpose. He wants to destroy the people that you are striving. Come on now, whether you realize it or not, there are a certain group of people on this planet that only you are going to be able to reach. His goal is to destroy you before they are reached for Christ. So more people are what? More people are brought to a position and a place where they no longer are going to know Christ. He hates you so desperately, he'll speak to you, he'll torment you. You see, when you get to that level of depression, you're allowing other voices to come into your life. Listen, I know very wealthy people that have asked me to come to their house because they're hearing voices in the night. And it ain't Florence Nightingale singing. Demonic depression is one that is allowed to happen when you allow depression to control you. And it's real. And it's scary. Because when you get to that level, their whole job is to torment you. And they do. The Bible says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. So when your eyes are no longer on perfect love, which is your eyes fixed on Jesus, and now your eyes are fixed on your depression, your eyes are fixed on your problem, your eyes are fixed on your situation, now you have surrendered your life to a position to where now your thinking is all just death. Your thinking is now just disgusting. Your thinking is now just no hope and no purpose in life. Why am I even here? Why am I alive? And this is what the devils want to get you to the place of doing. Suicide is never from God. You need to hear me. Suicide is ramped up in this planet. And the reason it has is because the enemy knows his time is short. And he knows the more people he can get to commit suicide, again, those individuals are not going to have opportunity to do what God's will was for their life. When you start allowing the voices, come on now, and I'm not talking like you're weird. People said to me once, Pastor, I don't want to be committed, but honestly, I'm hearing voices. And they're telling me, just take your life. It's a relief. You'll feel relieved if you take your life. Nobody cares anyways. Nobody really wants you here. All you are is a burden to everybody around you. They are lies. Every one of them are lies. They're demonic, satanic. Why? Because God said, I fearfully and wonderfully made you. I've got divine purpose for you. I've got a reason for you being on this planet. If my spirit is dwelling inside of you, there's nothing that can conquer you, nothing that can overwhelm you. But I want you to realize there are people that truly love God that have committed suicide. They've got to that place of hopelessness that is just overwhelming, and they've given up. And I want you to know that's what the enemy's striving to do. That's why depression is so dangerous. It is not a gun to play with. It is not something to toy with. Why? Number one, it's against the word of God. Number one, it's against the word of God because it's you accepting something that is not true. I accept what God says about me, not accept what anybody else says about me. Watch now. Or even what I say about me. Who cares what you say about yourself? What matters is what the word says about you. Those voices, man, when they graduate, they start to strangulate. And people actually believe that there is no reason for their being. And I want you to know that is not true. And I don't know where you are, and I don't know who you are. I don't know who's watching by television, who's watching by live stream, but hear me now. We're all tempted with depression. If you open the door and you start and continue allowing that to have voice in your life, it draws people on a spiral. Not everybody that's depressed is going to commit suicide. But we've all had somebody in our life that we love desperately that has taken their own life. You know they didn't think about taking their own life. You know they didn't think that it would hurt anybody. They thought it would relieve everybody. That's the lie of the devil. But I'm here to tell you that suicide is never from God. When the thoughts come in your life, you need to make an aggressive stance. Anytime you are tempted with suicide, you know there is a demon involved. And I'm going to say it again. Every single time that suicide is a temptation in your life, a thought that runs through your brain, it is never from God, and it is always satanic at its root. I can prove it to you. Human nature is always survival. That's just human nature. We are survivors. So when it's the opposite, it is not God. God created you to live, not die. So every time this thought comes in your mind, you've got to take an aggressive posture. You've got to, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You've got to take this position and you've got to start speaking it out of your mouth. You lying devil, I take authority in the name of Jesus. I will not entertain one thought of suicide. I will not entertain one thought of taking my own life. I will not entertain that because this is not of God. I've got purpose. I've got breath. I've got reason, and I refuse to give my life away. I'm going to address this. Pastor, is it true that everyone that commits suicide goes to hell? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. And the one thing that I learned a long time ago was this. When I don't know, I don't play there. It is not worth the chance to wake up in the wrong place. But I'm just looking for relief. Let me tell you something. There are people in this room that will pray with you. We'll fast with you. We'll break that spirit off of you. We'll speak life to you so hope will rise within your spirit. We want you to know that you are not alone in this place. But remember what depression does. Depression brings you to an alone place. You watch The Wild Kingdom when you were a kid. What do the lions do? They always separate one from the pack to make them an easy prey. Don't ever go alone. You weren't created for that. You're created to call upon the name of the Lord. You're created to have brothers and sisters in Christ. Where one laughs, we all laugh. One cries, we all cry. Come on now. We work together. We are one body. Well, I don't want to be embarrassed. Oh, baby, I'd rather be embarrassed any day. Put your pride in your pocket and ask for help. Because God's got purpose, and the longer the devil can keep you constrained, the longer you are in the depths of depression, the less impact you're going to make on this planet. And I want you to realize that you don't have to live that way. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That God supernaturally, I'm not talking naturally, I'm not talking with drugs, I'm talking God supernaturally can deliver you today from the spirit of depression, from a spirit of suicide. You do not have to live with it. You do not have to tolerate it. You don't have to accept it, but you can stand. And after I've done all I can do to stand, I stand there for. Why? Because I've got the power of his might. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We don't like to talk about this at church. It's uncomfortable. But man, there's no better place to talk about it than right here. because we got the answer. His name is Jesus. Well, I don't know how religion will help me. It won't. But Jesus will. Amen. He's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. And he's got purpose for your life. He's got reason for your breathing. And he's got, man, he's got the joy of God. He's got the peace that will pass all understanding. He's going to bring you to a place you've never been before. And that is the success, so that when you stand before him, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Man, you and I got to make a step. We've got to make a decision. Listen now, suicide is the most selfish thing you can do. Number one, you steal your purpose from the planet. Number two, you leave no answers for your family. I'm saying this so that it gets in your spirit. You actually stop the will of God for your life when you commit suicide. And it's like an atom bomb. It makes no sense. And wounds everybody around you. You need to hear this. Because when those foul voices start to whisper, you're going to make everybody happy by doing this. That's a lie. It's a lie. You're purposed. You're important. And God loves you and needs you. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Jesus, we thank you so much that your word is truth. God, that your word is practical. Lord, we bind the devil in the name of Jesus. You lying spirit, hear me now in Jesus' name, as God has given me authority over the people of this house and over the people that call me their pastor. I take authority in the name of Jesus, and I command the spirit of suicide. I command you to shut up from this day forward. No longer are you allowed. I no longer give you the authority to whisper in their ear, but I bind you in the name of Jesus. God, those believers that are depressed, I stir in their spirit right now the joy of the Lord. I stir in the spirit right now the power of God, and we break and destroy hopelessness in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that we choose to think the way you tell us to think, not the way we want to think. God, we give you honor for this. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I have no hope for you, or I should say, help for you. See, without Christ, you can't have Christ's benefits. And the benefit of having Christ in your life is that you can overcome all things. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to lead you to the best friend you've ever had. If you'd like to receive Jesus this morning, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I'm not going to wait real long. I've gone very late. But this morning, if you'd like to receive Jesus, I want you to slide your hand up. Come on, get your hand up. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want to know my purpose and my destiny, my calling, the reason for my breathing. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, come on, get your hand up. I want God. And last call, and 1. Today is your day. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. This is the intercessory prayer team. They've already been praying for you. You don't even know it. But when they lay hands on you, the power of God's going to hit you and you're going to be free. You're going to think different, but you got to maintain the think different. Amen. Can I pray one more prayer? There are people in this room that have experienced people that have committed suicide in your life, and you are broken still. You're broken. And I want to pray for you right now. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Jesus, you said you came to heal the brokenhearted. Where doctor's scalpel cannot cut, where medication cannot touch. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, all those that have been wounded by somebody in their life that they love has committed suicide. I pray, Jesus, for healing in their hearts, that God, you will touch them, Lord, and that Jesus, you will bring a healing to their mind in Jesus' name. Bring peace, God. I just ask that for your glory. They need you. They need healing. We release that right now in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you so much for being here. Was that okay? Was that practical? Was that helpful, all for two of you? Amen. Was that practical? Was that good? Next week, we're preaching on anxiety and panic attacks. how to not have them in your life. You need to be proactive this week in inviting your friends. Proactive. You've got to find people that are going through this that desire to be free. Remember, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to be free. But somebody that wants to be free, Christ will set them free next week from anxiety and panic attacks. I know that. I'm going to share my story. Is that all right? I'm going to share part of my story of anxiety and panic attacks, what happened in my life and how I got free myself. Father, I speak blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare that no sickness has a right in their homes. I curse every single sickness, every single disease, every bit of maiming and wounding. I declare in Jesus' name, all growths you have to diminish right now by the power in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke any spirit of infirmity that's trying to bring a sickness on a person of this house in Jesus' name. And I declare, God, that we will prosper in all things, be in good health even as we all shall prosper in you. Lord, I declare prosperity in their jobs, prosperity in their family, prosperity in their thinking, prosperity most of all in their walk with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody receiving said, I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God. Please do not get in an accident in the parking lot.